and 3 feet every 9 seconds, along with areas of dense fog. Outside KSEO Studios, it's 61 degrees. The time is now 10:06. Time for your Saturday special.
Your Saturday, our, everybody's Saturday special, right, Dave?
That's right.
What a pleasant surprise to see your smiling face here.
I don't even know how I got
Michael.
Here.
The brightest, and I hear another voice here.
Who is that?
I hear another voice. Who is that other voice?
How long am I on the whole 2 hours?
You're on right now. Yeah, everybody's asking. You're on for the whole 2 hours, and everybody can hear you. It's amazing. Anyhow, stand by, Ben. I have to start the program officially. Okay, you got to start officially.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
Good morning, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley, and all KSCO country worldwide. It's MZ welcoming you to hour number one of the Saturday special for, my golly, it's almost the end of September, September 26th, Saturday. And have we got a great show for you? And we're going to be on right up until 12 noon, so do stay with us. You'll be happy you did.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Have you noticed how many commercials you see on television for prescription drugs? Ask your doctor about this or that. Such and such is not for everyone, and the side effects are often worse than the disease. Prescription drugs probably amount to more than half of the television advertising you see. And people wonder why one pill that costs one-tenth of 1 cent to manufacture frequently is sold for $100 or more. Can you say obscene? Can you say outrageous? Can anything be done to curb the stranglehold the drug companies have on the American public? The aging healthcare debate continues, but one of the brightest and most level-headed people I know has yet to weigh in on this explosive subject. This man is a nutritional pharmacist from Boulder, Colorado, and is one of the most engaging and charismatic speakers you will hear. Plus, he's a personal friend and one heck of a nice guy. Join pharmacist Ben Fuchs and me on the next KSCO special this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, right here on Common Sense is Alive and Kicking Radio, AM 1080 KSCO.
Now you can talk, Ben.
Michael, did you write that yourself?
Of course, I write all the promos.
That was awesome.
To do for the Sans, for the Saturday special. No, you're and I meant every word of it and more. How are you, Benjamin Fuchs? It's been I don't know, 7 or 8 or 9 months since you've graced us.
Since I've been on the air.
Since you've been on the air here.
I think it's a year.
Well, okay. Well, I think you were on a Saturday special very early this year, the first or second one in January.
You know, you are right. You are right about that. But I live on in reruns. I do. I live forever in reruns.
And as a result of that and more that we hope you'll be doing with us, I think you're excited about. We are, and
I am.
I'm
excited about it.
And it's not necessarily alternative health that you
no.
You'll be talking
it's
about.
It's alternative everything. It's alternative everything because I believe in alternatives. In fact, that's what I tell people. It's not so much the specific details, but it's the general idea that there are options. People don't feel like there's options. And so the message isn't so much in the details of the specific nutrients you have to take or the specific strategies you have to employ, but just the general idea that you have choice. You have options. As a pharmacist, one of the things that we dread in the pharmacy is when somebody comes in and says, my doctor told me, or I'm taking this because my doctor told me, or I don't know what's in the bottle, my doctor told me to do this. So we get this notion, and it is somewhat perpetuated intentionally because there's marketing interests at play, that you have to do what you're told. You have to do what the doctor tells you. And you don't have to do what the doctor tells you. In fact, I'm going to say that again because it's so important. People, you don't have to do what the doctor tells you. In fact, it more often than not, it's in your interest to not do what the doctor tells you. Does that make sense, Michael? Do you know how in the world mind there's this notion that there's a medical authority? We joke about MDs in the pharmacy business. We call them medical deities. MD stands for medical deity. In the sense that it comes from on high. I don't know about my body, but the doctor told me I have to do this. And unfortunately, the drug companies...
That's changing, though, Ben, don't you think? When I was growing up and when you were growing up, doctors were considered gods, and now they're not.
Well, it's changing in the sense that now we've passed the buck of medical deityship onto naturopaths or other healthcare professionals, chiropractors perhaps, nutritionists perhaps, herbalists perhaps. But there's still this notion that we don't know what our bodies don't know, and we don't know, and we have to go outside of ourselves to find that information. And my message is you don't have to go outside of yourself to get that information. At least I'm giving you –
That's why everybody likes to listen to you.
Yes, it's a powerful message. It's a message of empowerment. Uh-huh. I like to think of myself as a health motivational speaker. Uh-huh. I'm motivating. I want people to motivate to get books, to get the internet, to listen to me, and yes, perhaps even to listen to your doctor, to listen to everybody, and then make your decision. And so it begins. It takes the ball and puts it in our own court, and it says that we can figure it out. And even in a bigger way, it says that your body can heal itself. If you give your body the right things and you don't give your body the wrong things, there's a healing and rejuvenating system, mechanism built into the system of the body. And you have to look no further than the last time you cut yourself. You get a little paper cut or whatever on your finger. You get a shaving nick. You don't have to think about how to heal yourself. You don't have to go to the doctor to have your paper cut healed. There's a healing system built in, a healing mechanism built in that you can look at your finger, and if you look closely, you'll see little white blood cells migrating to the area, and you'll see fibroblasts secreting collagen, and you'll see a little skin start to form, and cells will cover up the cut. 2 days later, no cut. It's gone. Well, that same process that heals your finger when you get a paper cut or your face when you shave is in place everywhere in the body. It heals itself.
Now, wait a minute. I've always wondered what the limit is. I mean, obviously, you know, what you said is true. When you cut yourself, how bad can you cut? Sometimes you need to have stitches. How bad does the injury have to be where it won't generate, where it won't regenerate? If you cut your leg or your finger off, you're not going to grow a new leg or a finger.
Right.
Where's the limit? I've always wondered about that, and now I've got somebody to ask.
Well, I don't know where the limit is, but yes, there is a limit, obviously. But the limit is much further out than we've been led to believe. In other words, we have this swine flu epidemic that everybody's freaking out about. Well, guess what? You have an immune system that heals the flu. You have an immune. You get cancer every day, Michael. Everybody gets cancer every day.
Everybody gets cancer
every day. Every day we're bombarded with cancer-causing agents, but we have enzymes and biochemicals that cut the cancer out. You know what I'm saying? When somebody ends up with cancer and dies from it or ends up on chemotherapy, it's because somehow the healing system has been short-circuited. The system that cuts the cancer out has been broken down, and it basically is broken down by what we do on a day-to-day basis. We smoke cigarettes, we eat crappy food, we don't give ourselves the good food, we think lousy thoughts, and this should not be overlooked also. The mental system and the emotional system are superior to the physical system in the sense that when you think thoughts, that changes your body.
Yeah.
And when you feel feelings, that changes your body. So if we really want to be healthy, we have to be healthy spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And it is in that order, by the way, spiritual, mental, emotional, physical. And so I've
been talking about you doing a radio show on that whole subject,
yes.
on that whole group of subject. My God, I mean, there's no limit to what you could do with that kind of a radio program. So let's do some of it today.
Okay.
But I gotta ask you, I still have to ask you, because I've already teased people with the promo.
Yes.
What do you think of the proposed healthcare reform?
Okay, it's insidious and nasty because it has an implication that we need to go to the doctor and we need drugs. Now, who do you think benefits from that? Michael's whirling. Who benefits from this insidious, sneaky, implicit idea that's never spoken out loud?
The pharmaceutical industrial.
Hello.
I'm not as stupid as I look, huh?
You don't look stupid.
Okay.
But the point is that who do you think is going to always look who benefits? It's not the people who are going to benefit, because if the people would benefit, we would have national yogurt insurance, national magnesium insurance.
What? What are you talking about?
National massage insurance, where every American is guaranteed magnesium, yogurt, and a massage once a month if we really cared about health. Because that's what you need for health, is magnesium, yogurt, and massage. And I'm being a little facetious because we need more than that. But those are the kind of things that we need, not drugs, not guaranteed going to the doctor once a month or once a year, whatever that is. We would be focusing on health. And we also focus on mental health. We focus on emotional health and spiritual health. That's what we need to be insuring our health for our health, not a doctor's visit. But the idea is sneaky. It's snuck in there. Nobody's coming right out and saying, oh, we're going to disempower you and guarantee that you can go to the doctor and get your drugs. But it's a sneaky idea that implicitly tells people they cannot take care of themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying, Mike?
Yeah,
does that make
sure.
Sense?
And I know that. I mean, that's what, you know, that's how I know you. And that's
it's the sneakiness of it. It's the sneakiness of it. It's snuck in there.
But people do need health care. People do get hit by trucks and cars. People do have accidents. People do catch cancer.
That's called heroic medicine.
Yeah.
There's a distinction that has to be made between regular or day-to-day medicine and heroic medicine. Heroic medicine is when you break your leg or when you have an accident of some kind. Yes, obviously you need a surgeon for that. Vitamin C is not going to help. And that's heroic medicine. And we excel in heroic medicine, by the way. The American system excels in heroic medicine. Where it goes awry is in day-to-day health, because it says that you can take these heroic techniques, these heroic strategies, and apply them to day-to-day health. And day-to-day health is not a matter of heroism. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
We've made doctors heroes. And so we say, oh, you're a hero. You can fix my broken leg. Well, why don't you take care of my blood pressure too? But your blood pressure does not require heroic means. The blood pressure is in the body's range of skills. Your body's range of skills can handle fixing your blood pressure. It can't handle getting hit by a car, but it can handle lowering your blood pressure. You don't need to go to the doctor to lower your blood pressure. People, everybody listening, you don't need to go to the doctor to lower your blood pressure. You need to go to the doctor if you break your leg or if you get hit by a car, but not to lower your blood pressure. And that's the distinction that I'm making.
So where does that lead us in terms of
healthcare?
Your impression of healthcare reform?
It's obscene. Do you know how much money is going to be spent on that? That healthcare system? Do you think we're going to get better health? Do you think we're going to get better? Have you ever been to Kaiser? No knock on Kaiser, but have you ever been there? Have you ever been to these
many years ago, yeah.
Okay. Have you ever been to a doc in the box kind of setup?
Sure. Many years
all right?
ago. Yeah.
Ask any veteran about the VA.
Uh-huh.
All right? And I'm a pharmacist, I'm telling you. You don't want to ever go to the VA unless you absolutely have to. Well, that's the kind of healthcare we're all going to get, is VA healthcare. You're going to get drugs, it's going to be guaranteed that you get all your drugs, no problem. And then you'll get your checkup, whatever that means. But you're not going to get your health taken care of, because to take care of your health, you have to not eat McDonald's. I'm sorry to say that, folks. You have to not drink the soda pop. I'm sorry to say that. You know, and you have to make sure you're getting your nutritional supplements, and you have to have a complete lifestyle change. You got to exercise. There's all kinds of things that you have to do. But you know what, MZ? People, with all due respect, a lot of people don't want to do that.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't want to do what it takes.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate, but
people will listen to this program and they'll nod their head and then they'll go and belch and eat the McDonald's and do everything that they normally do.
And there's no way, if you eat that kind of food, there is no way to be healthy. If we really cared about health, MZ, we would have a hamburger tax or a soda tax, which they're actually talking about, or a Snickers bar tax.
That's great.
And that would fund the healthcare system. French fries. We get taxed a penny for every French fry that you buy. There's
what
an extra penny tax.
What a great idea. I've never heard
and
that.
And that will fund the healthcare system.
So it's taking a page out of the tobacco. You know, the tobacco taxes. When I was a kid, a pack of cigarettes, including taxes, presumably, was 45 cents.
Right, and now it's like whatever, $5 or
yeah,
I don't even know.
$4 or $5 or something like that. And most of it is tax.
How much is a pack of cigarettes? Is it really $4 or $5 now?
I think so. Someone will call 479-1080 and let us know.
MZ, there's no way you can be healthy if you do that. If we eat the way we eat, there's no way. And if we eat the amount we eat, there's no way you can be healthy. Now, is our goal to stay healthy? We got to ask this question. Is the individual's goal to stay healthy, and is it in the country's interest that everybody stays healthy?
Let's take the first phone call here. I don't even know who this is. Who is it? You're on the air.
It's Captain K from Santa Cruz.
Captain, okay. Can you hear Ben? Can you hear Captain? And can you each hear each other?
Yes, I hear you, Captain.
Okay, so you have an answer for us, Captain?
Yeah, the average pack of cigarettes is about $5.50. They've gone up.
Oh, it's even more than $5 now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, well, the taxes increased quite a bit a couple months ago. Uh-huh. And I know a lot of people, myself included, as a middle-aged gentleman, and I'm throwing the towel in on them. That's enough.
Well, then it's a good thing that our government did by raising the tax, and they should do the same thing with French fries and all the other things that are bad for you. It's the first time I've ever heard that. Brand new genius.
And that will fund the health. If you really want to fund the health care system,
it's like me for car insurance. I'm a mobile boat mechanic, and I do an extreme amount of driving. I always said we should just pay our insurance at the pump, because the people that drive more, obviously, you got more chance of getting in an accident, right?
Right. The more you drive,
the more gas tax you're going to have to use.
Exactly.
The more
French fries you eat, the more likely it is you'll have a heart attack. So
I never thought about it, but I like that one, too. It's just real simple. But, MZ, I just want to say thank you from the community for your awesome radio station.
Hey, thank you.
Oh, that's all. That's great. And, MZ, that's great. That's great.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Captain.
Thanks. Yeah, you know, the secret to having a good radio station is just serving the community and having good original programming, and not just being a conduit for a bunch of syndicated programs, which is what we're going to become. After I just said that.
But you can be successful in business and do good, too. And that's the overriding message. Yes. You can be successful at what you do and serve the greater good. That was a great call.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to give us a call, it's sort of a free-form program. The initial topic of discussion today between pharmacist Ben Fuchs and MZ on the Saturday special is healthcare and his take on how to fund healthcare and his comments about what is being proposed. And his comments are pretty much like many of our comments, obscene, and it's ridiculous, and so forth. But he has a very interesting take, because Ben is a nutritional pharmacist. Now, you went to pharmacy school, right?
I went to pharmacy school, and it's funny, because when I went to pharmacy school, my idea was to study food as medicine. I wanted to study the medicinal properties of food.
You probably didn't get much. You probably had to do a lot of independent study, right?
You know, they do an entrance interview. When you go to pharmacy school, the first thing they do, the dean interviews you just to tell you, I guess, to see where you're at and what your ideas are. And I told him that, and he laughed. He thought that was the funniest thing he'd ever heard. This was back in the 80s when I told him that I wanted to study food as medicine. I remember him cracking up. He's like, we don't study that here. We study drugs. And so, you know, I had already committed by that point, and so I got a background in drugs, which I'm glad I got, because I understood the true nature of what supposedly is medicine. You know, when you go to pharmacy school, what you really study is poison. You study controlled poison. And that was the most shocking thing to me, was that we're using poisons to treat the body, to heal the body. And that was a real eye-opener, let me tell you. But one of the things we study in pharmacy school, and a lot of folks don't realize this, but pharmacists study nutrition. Except pharmacists study nutritional substances like vitamins and minerals as medicines. We study the medicinal properties, that is the healing properties of vitamin A and vitamin E and selenium, et cetera. And we also study diseases as nutritional deficiencies. And it turns out that all diseases, if you trace them back far enough, originate as nutritional deficiencies, with the exception of perhaps poisonings. Diseases are really the manifestations of nutritional deficiencies. In fact, at the point of death, we really die because some organ system is not getting fed. You know, a heart attack is really cardiac heart cells that aren't getting fed somehow at the cellular level. So we really die in a certain kind of way.
That's another question I've always – at what point officially does death occur? It's when something stops functioning altogether. Some vital organ stops functioning altogether.
Right. The brain or the heart typically stops functioning, but it stops functioning because the cells aren't getting nutriated, and it happens over time. As the individual cells die because they're not getting starved, ultimately the whole system dies. But the point is that at death, we're dying of starvation. We die of starvation. We die of nutritional deficiencies. So, so really, it makes sense. As a pharmacist, it made sense to me. Let's focus on nutrients. Let's focus on nutrition. And I know in my own life, once I started taking care of my nutrition, everything changed in my own life. And I,
wait a minute. Was there ever a point where you were
I was more typical. I was more normal.
Considered unhealthy?
I don't know if I don't know if I was unhealthy necessarily, because when you're young and vital, you can get away with a lot of stuff. But yeah, I, you know, when I was a kid, I ate McDonald's and drank soda pop and all that stuff. I didn't understand what was happening to me. It's only as I started to delve into the magical powers of the human body that I realized, hey, I don't want to monkey around with this system. I want to enhance the system and amplify the system and magnify its powers. I don't want to shut them down. Right. And that happened over time. Over the last 15, 20 years, I've been taking care of myself. But you know what happened to me, MZ? When I reached age 40, you know, I'm 49 now, but when I reached age 40, I noticed that all of a sudden I was gaining weight. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that I couldn't
eat
the same
stuff. Funny how that happens, huh?
Yeah, right?
When you haven't really changed anything.
And I hadn't changed it. Yeah. Exactly.
Your body changes.
My body changed, and so I had to really take the bull by the horns, and I'm glad I did. Uh-huh. You know, so I had to make some serious lifestyle changes, and I wasn't even doing it that badly. I wasn't eating at McDonald's. I was just doing things that weren't perfect. And as you get older, it becomes more important that you refine your lifestyle habits. And I'm glad I did, and I feel great. And listen, my brother, he's 51. He's more he's not as crazy as I am. And I was talking to him a couple days ago. He said, oh, yeah, I went to the doctor for a checkup. And I realized I haven't been to the doctor for a checkup. I haven't been to the doctor in a long time. No, ever.
Wow.
Ever. And I don't expect to ever go to the doctor for a checkup, because what the heck is a doctor going to tell me that I don't know? And now you could say, well, what about your prostate and what about your blood pressure, et cetera, et cetera. You know what? If you're feeling good and you're not getting sick and you have a zest for life, it doesn't matter what your blood pressure is. And that's
I'll bet I know people who have zest for life and who are happy and
you don't know
who
if
also
they
have a bad prostate or have prostate problems forming.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that, Michael. The physical is a manifestation of what's showing up mentally and emotionally. And you don't know how somebody's feeling. You don't know what's going on through their heads.
Yeah.
If you're thinking crappy thoughts, it's going to show up as a crappy body. You know, there are people. There's no way to get around it. In fact, it's called psycho. There's a whole field of medicine that's called that is referred to as psychoimmunology.
Dave, we got to make sure that the cyber recorder is functioning. Have you checked it? I mean, this would be a terrible program to lose. Okay, good. Yeah,
psycho.
Like a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Remember that United Negro College Fund slogan? How he doctored it? He says it's a terrible thing to lose one's mind. And then he realized that he was bungling it. He says it's a terrible thing to lose one's mind. And then he pauses. Or not to have a mind at all.
Poor Dan Quayle.
Anyhow, it's a Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, with MZ and my friend pharmacist Ben. If you want to give us a call, talk about just about anything you want. But if you got Ben, you might as well hit him with health, because that's where he's really good. And I don't know anybody who reads more than he does. And you can call us at 479-1080 in area 831. You can shoot me an email, mz@ksco.com. We're going to go to a break, but let's take Rory in Watsonville's phone call first. Rory, you're on the air with Ben and MZ.
Thank you. Ben, it's always great to hear you. Thank you, Michael, for keeping the programs going.
Sure, thanks.
Those makes the toxin, right, when it comes to pharmaceuticals and anything, really, right?
You know, I'm not hearing Rory.
Rory, you got to speak up. I'm sorry.
No, it's cutting out, though. Cutting out. Is he talking? Was he addressing me?
I'm on Highway 1 coming to Buena Vista. Hopefully I'll hold here. I said dose makes the toxin. For instance, selenium.
Yes, the dose makes the poison, but there's a very interesting phenomenon that happens. There's a curve. The curve is very funny, because at super, super, super low doses, homeopathic doses, you get potency, and then the curve changes. So it's not a direct, it's not a linear, it's not like a straight line. It's not the dose response line is not straight up. It's very interesting. It's more of a parabola, in the sense that at the top, at the very, 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 very low doses, you actually get potency. Then it drops down, and then it goes back up again.
So it's not logarithmic either.
It's not logarithmic, and right. That's a very interesting point that Roy raises. Most of us think that, oh, at super low doses it's weak, and at super high doses it's strong, and so the dose makes the poison, but the curve doesn't look like that.
It's a parabola.
At very super low doses, you actually get a lot of poison, a lot of potency, then the curve drops down, and then it goes back up again.
Yeah.
So that's how homeopathy works.
Real quick, because I might lose you, what is it going to take to educate the American people and medicine in general that you got to first look at nutrition and then look at the pharmaceutical? I mean, it's so clear in my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, something this like selenium, 200 micrograms a day, I mean, it's demonstrated how much it decreases.
That's right. This is not airy-fairy. This is actually – there's voluminous literature. There's peer-reviewed journals. There's even something called the placebo effect, which I want to address that in a moment. But what it's going to take to answer your question, Rory, is willingness. That's what it always takes is willingness. We have to be willing on an individual level and on a societal level. We have to be willing to participate in our own health care, and that is using food and nutrition. If we're not willing, it's never going to happen.
Okay, last question is, what's a good school to point young people into medicine where they're going to take the nutritional approach, whether it's pharmacology or just straight?
Great question.
A good school, for education.
Yeah,
there's
in nutrition. Yeah.
Yeah, beyond the bachelor's, a medical school or a pharmacology school. Which ones are promoting nutrition first?
None of them, because they're all funded by the pharmaceutical industry and the medical industry. They back all the medical schools, so they have a vested interest in teaching drugs and in teaching medical techniques. There are some good nutritional schools. There's one in New York, and I don't remember the name of it, but if you Google it, schools in nutrition, there's lots of them. But as far as the standard universities going to the standard universities, some of the worst nutritional advice comes from dietitians and nutritionists that are trained in those schools because they're trained in the party line.
I know an MD, a friend of mine, that he only got one quarter of nutrition when he was getting his degree. So it's like, wow.
It's not in their interest to teach it that way.
Wow.
Well, thank you, and I'll continue to listen. Take care.
Thank you, Rory.
Thanks for your call to the Saturday special at 479-1080. That opens up a phone line if you want to give us a call. John on the West Side is going to be on, but Dave probably has some wonderful Dave Michaels bumper music ready to oh, that's good. Oh, Perez Prado. Yeah, that'll be good. So after we take this call from John on the West Side, we'll use that great bumper music to take us out to the commercial break. Oh, this will be wonderful. Okay, John, you're on with pharmacist Ben.
Hey, good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Good morning. In May, I kind of developed a rash, which I played with for a while and attended to it. I even went to popped into the doc and box and they gave me some high strength antibiotic, and then that didn't work. And then after about three times, I eventually turned out I got eczema.
Okay.
And it's taken over my whole body.
It's super easy to treat.
Good deal.
Super easy to treat. So what do they give you when you have a rash or an eczema? What's your name, John?
My name is John.
Okay, John. John and MZ, what kind of products do they give you? What's the class of medicines they give you when you have a rash, typically, or eczema or psoriasis?
They prescribed cortisone for me.
Exactly.
But I haven't taken it.
Well, here's my point, though. What does cortisone do? Why do they give you cortisone for eczema or for rashes? Why do they give it to you? What is the class of medicine that cortisone is? It's an anti-immune drug. Cortisone shuts down your immune system. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you your immune system's been activated. Well, then what activates the immune system? The immune system is the body's defense system. So they give you cortisone to shut down the defenses to get rid of the rash. But the point is your body is responding in a defensive manner. It's being attacked. So where does the attacking agent come from? That's the question we need to ask. Well, the attacking agent almost 100% of the time comes from the digestive system. That's Sometimes it'll come in through the respiratory system, and occasionally it'll be something topical, like from the outs affecting your skin. But almost 99% of the time, I would tell you, it comes from the digestive system, whether it's eczema. So you got to focus in on the digestive system. This is the core of the body, is the digestive system. And so if you have eczema, if you have a rash, if you have any kind of vasodilation, that is blood vessels opening up and you have redness, look to the digestive system. Either something's getting in inappropriately, or you're not getting enough of the good stuff, or it's usually a combination of them both. So number one, look for food allergies. The biggest food allergies are dairy, peanuts, eggs, soy, and grains. Those are the big five for food allergies. Some people can will throw in shellfish. Sometimes people are allergic to. Sometimes people are allergic to fish in general. But the big five are peanuts, eggs, soy, grains, and dairy. Those are the big five for food allergies. Look there.
Okay.
As far as eczema goes, eczema is real manifests as little patches of skin that's not healing appropriately. So that means cells are not growing appropriately. Whenever cells are not growing appropriately, you want to get rid of the food allergies and fix the digestive system, but you also want to make sure you're getting fatty vitamins, vitamins A and D, E and K secondarily, and then something called essential fatty acids, especially the ones that come from fish. We know them as omega-3s and omega-6s.
Okay.
Now, so focus in on the digestive system. Make sure you're getting your fatty vitamins and your essential fatty acids. Also, zinc and other minerals are important. But it's an internal condition from the digestive system and nutrition, almost always.
Okay.
Hey, John, I want to thank you for your call to the Saturday special.
Appreciate.
We're going to be going into a commercial break right now, which means that wonderful Dave bumper music
Remind, when we come back, I want to talk about the immune system and cortisone and that whole the whole idea of giving anti-inflammatory.
Thank you very much.
Sounds like a deal
to
me.
Thank you, John.
Okay, thanks.
Been in business for over 41 years by making it easy. Hello, I'm David Baker of Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliances, your brand source furniture and appliance store in Watsonville. At Baker Brothers, we're always looking for ways to make it easy for you. Listen.
When your old mattress has you dreaming of a good night's sleep, Baker Brothers, your sleep specialist, will answer your dreams with a new Simmons Beauty Rest mattress. Choose from Beauty Sleep, Beauty Rest Studio, or the Beauty Rest NG featuring Visco memory foam that conforms to the shape of your body. A perfect night's sleep begins with Simmons. Buy now, get free delivery, free setup, free pillows, and free removal of your old mattress.
When you need furniture or appliances, Baker Brothers will make it easy for you. Baker Brothers is your brand source store, which means we carry all the top names in furniture and appliances. Come by and visit. We'll deliver today or tomorrow. We are Baker Brothers Furniture and Appliances, 55 Brenham Street, Watsonville.
Baker Brothers, we make it easy.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman speaking up for the experts of electricity at Santa Cruz Electronics. Listen to what your friends and neighbors do with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Interfacing an HPLC with a mass spectrometer.
Microwave repair.
Robotic arm with controller for eShed industrial arm.
Tesla coil for my rail gun.
Dead tricks upgrades.
Drive for a telescope.
A tube amp for my guitar.
Submersible sensors for NASA.
Ethernet cable for my new iMac.
Solar-powered gate.
Instrument panel for an airplane.
Wiring my hot rod.
Upgrading PC system.
Help with home wiring.
Custom audio cables for recording studio.
High-voltage electronic ignition circuit.
Building a spaceship.
If electricity flows through it, you can do it. With the help of Santa Cruz Electronics, call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444. That's 479-5444. Or visit at 2808 Soquel Avenue in Santa Cruz. You can do it with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
I'm Peter from User Friendly Computing, and we want to be your computer people. At User Friendly, we understand that computer problems mean business problems. We've been serving the Santa Cruz business community for over 16 years, and we're small business specialists. Wouldn't it be nice to never worry about computer problems again? Viruses, email, printing, network problems, whatever. With our proactive service contract, we offer priority service, internet content filtering, and 24/7 monitoring of all your computer systems, so we know about and fix your problems before they disrupt your important business. Shouldn't you be spending your time running your business instead of fussing with frustrating computer problems? Save your time and sanity by calling the computer experts today at 423-9653. That's our 24-hour service line at 423-9653. At User Friendly Computing, where we're small enough to know you, big enough to serve you.
Hi, Tim Whitlow from Whitlow Concrete. Pleased to sponsor this portion of the Saturday special on KSCO AM 1080. Get ideas for your project from our website, whitlowconcrete.com, and call us at 475-4499 for a free quote. That's
475-4499. It's such wonderful bumper music. Okay, I finally figured out. Do I need to do anything with him? Ben, are you there? You there, Ben?
I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
Good. You are there. All right, welcome back to hour number one of the Saturday special on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO. No callers? What? No callers? There must be some mistake. Are we at low power or something? No, we're back up to just about full power. Okay, if you want to give us a call, 479-1080 in area 831. If you want to shoot an email, it's mz@ksco.com. Now, you wanted to talk about the immune system. Is that right, Ben?
I wanted to talk about steroids.
Oh, okay.
And the point I wanted to make is that if you have to give something, if a physician gives you a medicine that knocks out your immune system, obviously that's telling you that your immune system has been activated. And if your immune system has been activated, there's a reason why your immune system is activated, and that's what you want to track. That's what you want to see is why is your immune system activated? It's not a good idea to shut down your immune system. Does that make sense that, that we would shut down the immune system?
It makes no sense at all. Why,
no,
why do people do exactly the opposite of what they should be doing? Why are people so stupid?
It knocks out the symptom. We've confused the symptom for the cause. The symptom is not the problem. The symptom is just the signal. It's the smoke detector. If the smoke detector goes off in your house, do you go and take the battery out or do you look for the fire? Right? So what we do is we take the battery out of the smoke detector.
Yeah, not,
that's
not
how
cool.
Our medicine works. Does that make sense?
No.
It's silly.
And you really believe – you're not exaggerating to make a point. You really believe this.
Yes.
That our current system of medicine is simply cutting the wire to the alert
exactly.
Light, right?
That's exactly what
Holy
it's doing.
Holy Christmas.
That's exactly
this
what
is
it's
not
doing.
Good, Pharmacist Ben Fuchs.
No,
what are we
going to
do about it?
Well,
what can
like
be done about it?
Well, here's the thing. This is what the gentleman earlier, he asked, what do you do about it? This is what you do. You have to be willing to create a change. You have to be willing to make a change in your lifestyle. You have to be willing to participate in your own health care. And if we're not willing, you know, I could talk all day. I could talk till I'm blue in the face. If we're not willing, it's not going to happen. It requires willingness.
All right. Well, let's go back to the phones. Kim, yes, in Snazzy Cruz, according to Dave. Here's Kim. You're on the air.
Hi. I had a question about using 5-HTP supplements,
yes,
to raise serotonin.
You know, that's a great question. I got my 5-HTP right on my counter here, so I'm glad you asked that. 5-HTP is a great precursor to serotonin. The problem is the body has mechanisms that will limit the amount of serotonin that can be made from 5-HTP. If you're deficient in it, it will take in the 5-HTP, which is a precursor. But you can't just raise your serotonin beyond a certain point. Your
serotonin has something to do with
mood,
good sleep, right?
Well, it has to do with more with mood. In fact, the antidepressants that a lot of people take today are serotonin drugs. Serotonin is a neurotransmitter. That is, it's a brain chemical. It's a hormone that affects your brain. It also affects your digestive system, actually. Do you know your digestive system is like your brain? It's like a second brain in many ways. And they're the same neurotransmitters that are in your brain are in your gut in the digestive system. The serotonin is actually
But your
in the
brain,
digestive system.
presumably, without your digestive system, the brain can function for a while. But without the brain, the digestive system cannot function at all. Is that a correct statement that I just made?
It depends on what you mean. If you take the brain totally out of the head, obviously the digestive system won't function. But the digestive system has its own nervous system. So the even when people are in a vegetative state, their digestive system still works.
Right.
Like if they're comatose. Uh-huh. So to a certain extent, you're right. If the brain dies, the rest of the body's going to die eventually. But even people who are comatose, their digestive system still functions.
Uh-huh. Okay. Ben, let's turn the subject around a little bit. I mean, you're a guy who has opinions on everything, just about. You know?
Opinions are like...
Not just health.
Do you ever hear that saying, opinions are like a certain part of the body, everybody has one?
Uh-huh.
You ever hear that?
No.
You never heard that?
No, that's a good one.
Okay. Opinions are, we'll say opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one. Never heard that?
No, that's good.
Right. I didn't make it up.
So, what do you think about the political state in our country?
I follow politics from a historical perspective because I like history, and I like to see where the culture is at any given moment in history. And through politics, you can kind of get a sense of that. But as far as the ins and outs of it, I really, I'm not political. I don't think our solution is.
Well, you're political enough. This was not told to me in confidence, so I can repeat it.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember years ago you and I had a discussion about our president at that time, and you didn't think very much of him.
I don't know him. I just know what I read in the paper.
Right.
And are you talking about W? Well, it's funny because I didn't think he was a very bright man, but I actually have a friend who he's a well-known politician, actually.
Okay.
Very well-known politician, and he was good friends with W, and I talked to him about W. He's actually one of W's best friends,
uh-huh.
And he told me that it's not true, that W is actually a very bright man, and he just doesn't come across well. And I had to take my friend's word at that. And so I didn't know the guy.
What he was doing. I don't think. I mean, as president, I don't think it had. Maybe he did. I mean, a lot of people didn't like Bush because they said he comes across like an airhead or a dweeb or something.
He does come across that way, but who am I to say? I don't know the guy personally. I didn't like his politics necessarily, but the president is a figurehead in many ways. He's not really the man. There's people pulling the strings behind the president. So I think my hunch is, and I don't know this for a fact, but my sense is that the president is a diversion. Do you know how magicians do this thing called misdirection?
No.
Do you know what misdirection is?
No, I don't know what that is.
Misdirection is when a magician will show you his left hand, but he's really picking your pocket with the right.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's called misdirection. It's a skill in magic. It's also in football. Misdirection is when it looks like the field is moving to the left when the running back is going to the right. It's called misdirection. And so my sense of it is the presidency is really about misdirection. Because if you look at things, no matter who the president is, the debt keeps going up and money keeps getting spent and things don't get better. So I'm not really buying this whole presidency, and I don't really buy politics.
How long have you felt that way?
The more I participate in an objective way, like by following, by watching it in a detached, dispassionate kind of way.
Uh-huh. It's not about left and right. It's about control
and
power
and
so forth.
It's not about left and right.
But it's about control and power.
It's about control and power.
That's what I think people are beginning to realize right now.
And that's why an
independent, an independent party – they always talk about that. They say, we need an independent party, and then there's never an independent party.
Well, there's a guy named Thomas Kuhn who wrote a book called The Structure of I forgot what the term – but he traced how science evolves. I'm trying to think of the name of Thomas Kuhn's book. But it was a classic book that came out in the 60s, and he said that science advances funeral by funeral. In the sense that the old guard has to die before the new guard comes in, because the old guard always resists change. So, yes, it's true that our society, everything evolves in our society. It's called the structure of scientific revolution.
So who is the old guard? Is the old guard the people in power? Is the old guard the people who put them in power?
The old guard are the people who put people in power.
Okay, so really, until most of us die, our system isn't going to change. Until most of the electorate dies, the system isn't going to change.
Yes, and that's what Thomas Thomas Kuhn talked about this. He called them are you there?
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. I hear you fine.
He called them paradigm shifts.
Right.
And the whole term paradigm shifts came from his book, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions. Today, everybody knows about paradigms, but it was first really enunciated or articulated by Thomas Kuhn in his book. And he said that there's an old guard that is entrenched and that resists change. By their nature, they resist change. Philosopher Schopenhauer said that first the truth is ridiculed, then it's violently opposed, and then it's accepted as true. And that's what happens. The old system doesn't want to give up its power. And so we have a power structure that is going to resist change. And it's going to do everything in its power to resist change. And it has a lot of power. But ultimately what's going to happen, and we're starting to see this with the internet, people are going to become individually informed. They're going to get informed on their own. And as people get individually
informed. If they're allowed to. Now they're talking about monitoring, right. About the government monitoring
absolutely.
The internet and censoring it and so forth.
Absolutely. What do you think that's about? That's the old guard
sure.
not wanting. That's they're in their death throes. Because when they start to get scared, that's the beginning of the end. And they are scared. They are scared. They don't like the internet. And they'll tell you it's about child pornography and they got to save the children and et cetera, et cetera. But they don't like information that's being put out like this. And so eventually you can't stop the flow. Once information's out, it's out. And you can do everything you could do, but there'll be ways that they get around it. It's like what's happening in Iran. You know, they tried to censor the internet, so they got on Twitter and they got on the cell phones and they did everything they could do to bypass that. So once people get the idea, once they get the taste of freedom of information, they will do anything they could do to get that information.
So what do you think will happen if the government does indeed control the internet and start taxing it and so forth?
Well, technology, there'll be ways to get around it. You know, there'll be all kinds of ways. There'll be hackers who hack into things. And, you know, whenever a system becomes so big that it tries to control things, there's always little cracks that will appear. There'll always be an underground. There'll always be people who figure out how to navigate through those cracks. You know, it's like in the Soviet Union, they used to have a saying. They said in communism, they say, they pretend to pay us and we pretend to work. You know, and so what it really means is the government people will play along. You know, they'll say, okay, you know, we'll do whatever you tell us, but secretly they'll know what's up and they'll be constructing all kinds of pathways through the system, or around the system.
Are you concerned or afraid of anything involving the future?
No, I'm very excited. In fact, if anybody's interested, Google the singularity. The technology, if you follow what's happening in terms of science and technology, we are in, or it's already begun, evolution that is as big as Neanderthals and going to Homo sapiens. We're about to hit a new stage of evolution. Homo sapiens is about to evolve in a big way. Evolution.
I want to keep you on all day long. I mean, you're the most positive person here.
Oh, it's
great. You need to rub off on all of us here. Here's a lot of negativity on talk radio all day.
No. You got to. People don't follow the scientific advances that are being made. And I follow them.
Let's talk. Is that going to lead
virtual reality, artificial intelligence, voice in, voice out, voice activated everything, computers everywhere, embedded augmented reality. Do you know what augmented reality is?
No.
Have you ever heard of this, sir?
Augmented
reality is when you superimpose data on reality so that you look at a building, contact lenses that have computer chips etched into the contact lens. So you see data everywhere. We're about to be – you know how we manipulate data now on the computer?
Sure.
We're going to be manipulating data integrated in our heads. We're about to become cyborgs, computerized. And by about to me, I'm talking 10, 20 years. Not far away, MZ. We're going to see this. The advances that are being made in computer technology
and
information –
that's very exciting, but is it a totally good thing?
Well, good or bad are just judgments that we're making. That's what's going to happen. You can make it good or bad however you want. I think it's exciting as heck. Can I say hell on the air?
You can say hell. You can say worse things than that.
I think it's exciting as hell. I can't tell you how excited I am about the future. It's I'm bubbling over.
And do you think this exciting technological future we have before us will result in fixing our economy?
Oh, the economy. Michael's whirling. There is wealth everywhere. The planet is pure wealth. We live on a ball of energy. We live on an iron ball. Earth has an iron core. It's a magnet. The friggin' planet is magnetic. Pure abundance everywhere.
I think it's okay to say friggin' too, but I could be wrong about that.
Okay, you never know.
Ben, you're so positive. I think that's fantastic. So.
How many blades of grass are there? How many leaves on a tree? How many insects? We live on pure abundance. Pure abundance, pure wealth. We take sand and turn it into computers. Silicon is sand. How much sand is there? Michael, it's just a mindset. We lived in, unfortunately today, we're living in a mindset of scarcity. We're in this trance of scarcity.
Yeah, so where did that come from? And how is it perpetuated? Perpetuated by the media? Well, the media, the internet is part of the media, and it's getting more and more powerful, a part of the media every day.
That's perpetuating
fear and anger and hatred. But it's also perpetuating the positive stuff too.
Yes. And it's like anything else. It's strictly a mindset. It's perspective. You know, we started off by talking about drugs. Do you know that there's something called double-blind studies when they test drugs? You ever hear of a double-blind study?
Yes, sure. But tell us what it is.
I'll tell you what it is. Yeah. Okay. A double-blind study is a study where neither the administrator of the medicine or the patient know which is the drug and which is the placebo. Because if the administrator knows, it's double blind. In other words, both the administrator of the drug.
Okay. So,
because if the administrator knows, he will affect the outcome. The patient will have an outcome.
Right.
Even if, just by his thoughts,
he will affect the outcome. Someone must know what the placebo is, though.
Whoever's doing this study does. But if the guy who's giving you the medicine knows, even if he doesn't tell you, you'll get affected by it because your mind affects things. Our minds affect things. Our perspective, our position, our mental positions affect behaviors. So what I'm saying is we have to change our minds first. We have to change our perspectives first, whether it's health or whether it's being happy in life. Everything comes from your perspective. You have to understand the power of perspective, the power of our perspective. So you say, am I excited about the future? Yes, I'm excited about the future because I have that perspective. And so everybody's depressed about the future. They have that kind of perspective. I don't want to say the wrong perspective, but they have that perspective. So it affects their behaviors and how they live their life. Change occurs in consciousness first, always. It's about consciousness. It's about perspective. You can be happy. You can be abundant right now simply by your perspective, by your consciousness. Michael, you want to talk about abundance? You have 100 trillion cells. You are the master of 100 trillion cells. You are the god of 100 trillion, 100 trillion member community. Do you know what 100 trillion is? Can you even begin to think of what that is?
A trillion is one followed by 12 zeros. Am I right?
One followed by 12 zeros, right. And 100 trillion is 100 times that.
Right.
And that's how many individual animals you're in. A cell is like an individual consciousness. It's like an individual animal. If you take your liver cell out and put it in a petri dish and poke it, it'll run away. If you put food in it, it'll come towards the food. It'll excrete. It'll digest. It'll has a nervous system. It has a skeletal system. And it's a little animal. And each of these little animals coalesce to form Michael's Whirling. And 100 trillion of these individual animals coalesce to form Michael's Whirling. So you are – that's pure abundance. What could be more abundant? You follow what I'm saying? There's abundance everywhere you look. Everywhere we look, there is nothing but abundance. The universe is nothing but abundant. Have you seen pictures of the Hubble telescope?
Yes.
Okay. There's like – they have this thing called the Hubble Deep Field. The Hubble Deep Field is a square inch that's pure – that's black except has a bunch of little dots in it, right?
Uh-huh.
And in that square inch with a bunch of little dots, do you know what those little dots are? Each one of those is a super galaxy, which is made up of countless galaxies. And there's a bunch of these little dots. It's the abundance is infinite. It's mind-boggling. If we pondered it deeply and contemplated deeply, it would stagger us. It would bring us to our knees.
Holy Christmas.
Yeah, exactly, Michael. Exactly.
We are talking with pharmacist Ben Fuchs, nutritional pharmacist from Boulder, Colorado, where Ben is originating today. It's the Saturday special with MZ and you, the callers. If you want to call us, we'll be on next hour. right up until noontime. Our phone number is 479-1080. You can ask Ben a health question. You can ask him a question about wellness, more than just health. I mean, wellness, physical health, mental health, spiritual health.
Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, in that order.
Yeah.
And by spiritual, I'm not talking religious either, by the way.
It's KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, 11 a.m.
Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. Iran facing an international chorus of disapproval over the revelation of a previously secret underground nuclear fuel processing facility says it's going to allow the UN's International Atomic Energy Agency to inspect the place. At the same time, though, it's making a public show of military strength.
Iran's elite Revolutionary Guard will stage a missile defense exercises tomorrow. All of this comes just days before the first meeting in a year between Iran and an international coalition of countries pressing for the suspension of its nuclear program.
Fox's Julie Kurtz at the Pentagon. President Obama using his weekend radio and internet speech to restate his stance on Iran's nuclear ambitions.
Iran's leaders must now choose. They can live up to their responsibilities and achieve integration with the community of nations. Or they will face increased pressure and isolation and deny opportunity to their own people.
The president offering Iran a, quote, serious, meaningful dialogue when the U.S. and that group of international partners meet with Iranian representatives in Switzerland next Thursday. A week ago today, that Colorado man was deciding it was time to stop talking with the FBI about his suspicious activities in New York around this past 9/11. Since then, he's been arrested in Denver, indicted in New York, and transferred to the Big Apple to face terror-related charges.
Prosecutors say they can show that Zazi had 9 pages of bomb-making instructions in his possession with his fingerprints on them. But Zazi's attorney says investigators never found any of the key ingredients that were to be used in the alleged bomb plot when they raided Zazi's homes and that of his family. Najibullah Zazi is suspected of being on the verge of setting off a terrorist attack here in New York City when he was taken into custody. That happened September 19th.
Fox's Laura Engel in New York City. In Germany, Chancellor Angela Merkel and her main rival have held their final political rallies before tomorrow's national election. They're ignoring an Osama bin Laden video that surfaced yesterday threatening retaliation for the presence of German troops in Afghanistan. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Mahalia Jackson, who died in 1972, is widely regarded as the first queen of gospel music. Although she was a heralded and much-loved performer, she lived a double life in racially divided America.
When I'm on the stage and on television and working with white people, they just hug me and love me and say I'm so wonderful and I'm so great. And then when I'm walking down the street like an ordinary citizen, they don't recognize me, and when I go into the department store in the South, I can't get a sandwich, I can't get a bottle of pop, I got to stand, I can't even get a cab, and I'm just the Mahalia Jackson that they got through saying how wonderful I am. What? I don't understand this. What makes people like that?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Two bombers blew themselves up and took 16 other people with them in two attacks in Pakistan today. A Taliban spokesman taking responsibility, warning of more to come. Two behemoth communications companies now locked in legal combat.
AT&T says that some phone calls don't get through on Google Voice. It's telling the FCC to order Google to straighten up and play by the same rules that everybody else does. According to AT&T, there's an economic incentive. Google saves money by blocking calls. According to Google, its voice service, which is free and web-based, is not subject to the common carrier laws that apply to phone companies. It acknowledges that it does restrict some outbound calls to what it calls high-priced destinations. Whatever the FCC does, it could be a step toward regulating Google Voice. Bill Vitka, Fox News Radio.
Well, with autumn coming on, New England areas get to enjoy those cute little acorns that fall from trees at this time of year. Except this year, they've turned into a major nuisance in some places.
Near record rain and a cool summer have helped produce a bumper crop of acorns in New England, and it's driving people nuts. The Boston Globe reports folks feel like they're walking on marbles. Joggers say they're taking their lives in their hands. Acorns are doing a number on windshields, and scientists say squirrels and other rodents are mating like crazy and getting a little chubby. One University of Massachusetts professor says he was hit in the head by a couple of acorns while painting his house. His course of study? Trees. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
With a solid work week's worth of international diplomacy at the UN and the G20 summit behind him, President Obama engaged in some family diplomacy today, showing up at a Northwest Washington soccer field this morning to watch his 11-year-old daughter, Malia, kicking the ball around. First Lady Michelle, First Dog Beau were there, too, all just hanging around the sidelines with other parents and onlookers. This evening, the president speaks at the annual dinner of the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation. I'm Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You've got it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It is a beautiful Saturday morning here on the Central Coast. It's September 26, 2009. I'm Dave Michaels with your weather forecast for today, which calls for highs in the 70s along the coast, reaching the lower 90s further inland. Tonight's forecast calls for clear conditions with lows in the mid-50s to lower 60s. And your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for today, east winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming west 5 to 15 knots. In the afternoon, wind waves will be between 1 and 3 feet. You can also expect a northwest swell 1 to 3 feet every 9 seconds, along with areas of dense fog, which should have already burned off by now. Outside KSCO Studios, it's 68 degrees. The time is now 11:06. Time for hour number 2 of MZ and the Saturday special.
And Dave, we're, correct me if I'm wrong, we're almost at full power.
We are almost at full power. We're
okay, 8, good, right good, good, good. Yeah, for those of you who are worried that we were a little weak, we had to deal with some moisture in the transmission lines. But evidently it has burned off. We're going to start hour number 2 of the Saturday Pharmacist Ben special. And so let's just do it. We are delighted to be part of your Saturday morning. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, MZ, and special guest pharmacist Ben Fuchs on the air right up until noon. We hope you'll stay with us.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
And before we get into the meat of the program here, hour number 2, there is what is, I believe, to be a world. Well, now let's see. I'm not sure whether this is it's a K's commentary. I don't know whether this is the world premiere of it or not. Let's give it a whirl and see.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's whirling.
What I'm about to tell you is shocking but true. Because you love our country as I do, it's easy to become stressed about change we reject. Knowledge is power, and we will work together to try to change what we see as blatantly wrong, and let us try to remain calm and focused. Do you want the United Nations to use our own American courts to impose their foreign laws on our United States? The United Nations, in a flurry of actions, has moved with alarming speed to cram foreign law down the throats of the American people. And the United Nations has a powerful new ally in this fight, and that is our President Barack Obama. The United States is a champion only of the American Constitution, the American Bill of Rights, and the American Declaration of Independence. This pressing information just came to me from Cliff Kincaid, the president of the National Committee Against the United Nations Takeover. If the UN and Barack Obama get their wish, foreign law will replace our U.S. Constitution with disastrous consequences for America. The American people must make their voices heard at the U.S. Supreme Court to make sure that U.S. judicial decisions are not based on any foreign laws or foreign court decisions. The Supreme Court must issue a clear ruling that UN foreign laws or court decisions are not legal in the United States of America. Americans, we're talking one world government because for the past 60 years, the UN, since its inception, has had one secret agenda, and that is to rule the world. And now the United Nations has two powerful new allies in this fight. The pro-UN liberals in our government, who control Congress, and the president in the White House. Barack Obama, Joe Biden, and the liberal leaders in Congress are the most strident pro-UN liberals America has ever seen in power in Washington. These pro-UN liberals will ram the United Nations foreign law down our throats unless we convince the U.S. Supreme Court to stand up to them. To conclude, it's really pretty simple. Either we let the liberals, the UN, and the ACLU change America forever by imposing foreign law on us, or we help the United States get the upper hand by supporting our vital campaign to not let this happen. My fellow Americans, please believe what I say. We are about to lose our country unless we fight now diligently to keep our way of life. Every day we are being assaulted, and Obama wants to dismantle us because this president snookered us. He is a globalist and not a true American. He promised us change, but foreign law would be our destruction. He did not promise us the complete takeover of our country. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Okay. Well, that's nothing to smile about. You there, Ben?
I'm here.
Okay. Yeah. You have any thoughts on what you just heard?
Of course, I have thoughts on everything. Don't you know that, Michael?
Sure. What do you think? I mean, it's hard to be. You're a real positive guy. You're a real positive guy, and that was a real negative commentary.
No, that was not. Because you know what? With all due respect, it's the old way of thinking. It's an old way of thinking. In physics, we know that there's something called systems theory, and it's a study of what a system is in physics. And in systems theory, it's a physical fact, a physics fact, that systems like to be big. They don't like to be small because they have too much surface tension. It's why drops of water coalesce on your windshield. Have you ever noticed that?
Sure.
Is because systems don't like to be small. So all systems are always evolving, are always expanding, so that their surface tension, that is the amount of energy it takes to hold the system in place at the surface, is less. It takes much more energy to hold a system, to make a system small at the surface. So systems are always expanding. And that's true about water, drops of water in your windshield, and it's true about countries. There's no such thing as countries. Those are artificial distinctions. And so we used to have nation states 500 years ago. There were states that were nations. There were city states before that. And now we have nation states. Well, of course we're going to have one world government because systems like to be bigger. And there's nothing wrong with that. You can still maintain your individuality as a human being, but America and countries in general are artificial distinctions. Where's America? What is America? It's a boundary that's an artificial boundary that we just drew a line. In America, we draw a line in the ocean. Well, America actually goes out 10, 14 miles into the ocean. Did you know that?
Yeah, I knew that, actually.
Yeah. So we draw these artificial distinctions, and then we call
artificial
them countries.
Artificial or not, it's America.
There is no – it's just an artificial distinction. There's no real America. There's no real United States.
So what are you saying? You're saying we've been a global community all along, and now because of technology, it's becoming more apparent to all of us, not just you.
Exactly what I'm saying. So people who are yelling about a one world government, blah, 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 it has to happen because it's just common sense. We're earthlings. Michael, you're not an American, really. That's some silly concept you make. You're an earthling. And even more transcendent to that, you're a spiritual being. So, well, of course we're going to have one world government. You think there's going to be an America in 1,000 years? You know, if we keep going, if we keep evolving.
At this rate, there won't be an America in 1 year.
Right. So whether it's 1 year or whether it's 1,000 years, yeah, Eventually there's not going to be an America. So you have a bunch of old folks who are yelling and rabble-rousing and some younger folks who bought the old folks' party line that they're Americans. And the fact of the matter is, in 1,000 years, there's not going to be America. It's going to be Earth. And we're going to be out in the stars, and we're going to be interacting with other communities that are out in the stars, whether it's 1,000 years or 10,000 years, it's just a matter of time. So why not advance yourself? Why wait is what I say, you know? But unfortunately, science advances funeral by funeral, so we got to wait for the old guard to die.
Wait. Listen, No, you speak and think really fast, and I've got to catch up with you here.
Oh,
you
know,
of course. Well,
am I talking too fast here?
No, I mean that's what we like, because no one can get bored and tune out the radio, and that's what I like, you know.
Okay.
I like fast talking hosts, I like fast talking guests, and I like fast talking callers. I don't like slow of any of the above, because it results in people tuning out the radio. When people tune out the radio, I can't sell as much advertising, or existing advertisers don't get as much of a bang for their buck. If people are if snooze inducing guests and hosts and callers, you know, result in the radio station being tuned out. Anyhow, let's see. We had a call from Dennis in Costa Rica, who said he was going to try to call back, but the phone connection was not necessarily the best, and he wanted to ask me to ask you. He did ask me to ask you about two different things. Okay.
Yes.
One thing is hyperbaric oxygen. What do you think about hyperbaric
oxygen?
Explain what it is, okay?
Well, it's great. It's good and bad, first of all. Oxygen is very interesting stuff, because oxygen obviously is required for life, but oxygen also kills you. So you have to be
really careful. It makes you blind if you're a baby and you get too much of it, right?
Well, because oxygen burns things. In fact, oxidation, the reaction that oxygen has with elements, is one of the ways things break down. So hyperbaric oxygen is great because hyperbaric means high pressure oxygen. It pushes oxygen into your cells, but you have to be careful with it. So if you're going to use hyperbaric oxygen chambers, make sure you're getting plenty of antioxidants with it to help balance out the excess oxygen, which can cause a problem. But other than that, oxygenation is very important. But you know what? Let me tell you something, Michael. This is extremely important. In fact, it may be the most important thing I say today. One of the most powerful things you could do for your health is to breathe. And by breathing, I mean into your belly. Deep breathing is an extremely powerful health-inducing tool. And not just deep breathing in terms of inspiration, but deep breathe, which is an interesting word, by the way, inspire.
Inspire. That means inhale.
To inhale.
Inspiration is the same as inhalation.
Inhalation, right. Yeah. Also exhalation.
Right.
Because that's how we detoxify.
Breathe all the bad stuff out, you know.
Exactly. I always get a kick out of these detox diets and detox formulas. And when I do a seminar, people always ask me about detoxification. And you have all these detoxification experts. The way you're supposed to detox is by exhaling. It's one of the most important things you could do. In fact, it may be even more important than inhaling is exhaling, because you're blowing off the poison. Well, poison comes out through your lungs. Are you breathing deeply?
I wheezed a little bit as I was exhaling.
So to answer our –
I think I made myself healthier by that last action, don't you think?
Absolutely. If you just did it like for a minute, 2 minutes every day, you could cause dramatic changes in your health.
Inhaling, pharmacist Ben Fuchs. I'm going to do that, because that's something that's easy to do.
Is exactly my point. You don't need to interface with some pharmacy or doctors or any of that stuff. You just do the simple things. Eat correctly. Give yourself good nutrients. Relax. Breathe. You know. Drink fluids. There's all kinds of strategies that you can employ to be healthy. Why don't we have, you know, people should, if we were really focusing on health, we'd be teaching people to breathe.
That's a good part of yoga, isn't it?
It's a huge part of yoga. Yeah. Huge. Yes.
Cool. Okay. So now, is it true that hyperbaric oxygen can be employed to make a person who to enable a person who has had a stroke to get back to normal again? Someone I've heard that people who have been have had deficits for 10 years, you know, as far as paralysis, as far as speech, have been put in hyperbaric oxygen chambers and have come out improved, you know, long after they would have thought, medical science would have thought and says that they're damaged beyond repair. Is that true or not true?
Well, you know, the specifics on the stories, I don't know. I can't speak to the truth or not. I haven't seen anything.
Well, what have you heard?
Observed it. I've heard, and I know that hyperbaric oxygen is definitely can be a health-inducing tool, but you have to be careful with oxygen.
Okay.
And that's the bottom line. But you don't need to go spend a bunch of money on hyperbaric oxygen treatments or hyperbaric oxygen chamber. Just breathe. That's hyperbaric oxygen, deep breathing.
Oh.
Because your hyperbaric means high pressure. Right? It means you're forcing oxygen into the body.
Right.
Well, breathing does the same thing. Deep breathing will do the same thing.
Wow.
That's hyperbaric oxygenation. It is deep breathing.
I've only taken two very deep breaths, and
don't you feel better?
I'm feeling much better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
479-1080 if you want to join us and talk to pharmacist Ben Fuchs, our special guest on the Saturday special today on your favorite radio station and mine. AM 1080 KSCO. Asa in Live Oak. Haven't heard from you for a while. Asa, how you doing?
Well, normally I keep my mouth shut. I mean, you've got a lot of people that talk a lot of good sense, and I like to listen. However, Ben really hit my hot button there with his description of America as opposed to the United States. I believe that our country, and he likes the spiritual, so our country is an idea. Much
yes.
more important and much bigger than its boundaries on the in the dirt. So I just wanted to say
it that is. That's well said, Asa. That's well said. Our country is an idea, and ideas will not go away. Ideas will not disappear. If America
but
disappears,
ideas have
the
to live. Ideas have to live and be.
That's
and
right.
Live
but they don't
by.
Live in countries. They live in the mind. You're absolutely right. Ideas
but they
do not live in the country.
In this country, these ideas have to live because this is the only place on earth that they do live.
And they can't be strangled.
They shouldn't be strangled.
Now, people
you can't lose an idea. You cannot lose an idea. So the country could disappear, but the idea of freedom, the idea of liberty, all the things that America stands for, those will not die. But the country doesn't have to be here to have the ideas of liberty and to have the ideas whatever you, all the good
well,
things
now,
that America
so,
stands for.
Hold it. You're pretty fast with that.
Okay.
Where do you
Go ahead.
Think those ideas will grow and live and have their being if not in this place?
In your mind and the group
well,
it's not just one mind.
It's not just one mind. It's a universe. It is the big mind.
In the big
it's
mind,
a
but
mind.
It doesn't have to
but
live
the point
in one
is,
own. There's no land.
There's
no boundaries to it. You can have the ideas of America
but,
on the moon. You can have the ideas
the
of America in another
is,
galaxy. You can have the ideas of America anywhere.
Your idea will not necessarily protect you if you're locked up and you're forbidden to do something that you want to do.
Yeah, if the government can suppress you.
But the point is it's not limited by boundaries, by land boundries, by a line. You know, when you go from California
I'm telling you it's important that we have this place to have where these ideas can grow and be and live. It is not – I mean, if I die tomorrow, my ideas will die with me. They aren't the kind of ideas that live on. But
the idea of America does not require a boundary, a land boundary.
It did to be born.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
It did to be born. The people had to gather together and write the Declaration before it was even born.
And the Constitution, yeah.
I'm not really hearing what you're saying. I'm sorry.
The Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, these ideas – had to be burned. They had to have their birth.
Yes, they had their birth in minds.
And these
not
ideas
land.
Can be.
They're
these
mental
ideas,
Asa. They're concepts.
No,
and
but these ideas.
One at a time.
Let Asa finish talking and then let Ben answer you because you're talking over each other and no one's getting
so
anything
fast.
Out of it.
He's just too fast.
Well, that's okay. He'll be
I'll
quiet.
Slow.
He'll be quiet and then.
That's why I don't call. I'm no way. I'm not fast enough.
No, I'll be quiet. I'll listen. I want to hear what you say.
I just am so. Absolutely floored by the idea that you said it wasn't that these it's as if you wiped our country off with a flick of your finger.
Can't do you want me to answer that? Can I interject? I don't want to step over you, Ace.
I'm finished. I'm done.
Okay, you're done. Now go for it.
I'm done with that sentence.
I know it's shocking because we've been born and to worship a country, to actually worship, to deify a country. We deify the symbols of the country. We deify the notion of a country. And so it's shocking when you think, well, wait a minute, they're not going to be America. But what you're saying is very important. And I really want to give you credit for that. It is the ideas that America stands for, supposedly.
But
anyway,
the point is,
they're wonderful ideas.
But we want our ideas to live. These ideas have lived long. Why should we be the generation that kills the ideas?
Nobody's talking about killing the ideas. We love the ideas.
They do talk about killing the ideas. Just the other day, Obama was quoted as saying he thinks they made a wrong move when the Declaration of Independence, because they didn't talk about sharing the wealth or something. And I've forgotten what it was. Obama says some outrageous things if you listen.
There's macro ideas and there's micro ideas. The macro ideas of freedom, of liberty, of the right to pursue happiness, those are macro ideas. Those are big ideas. Those aren't going
to
go away. Those aren't going to go away. The logistics of it, the actual implementation of these ideas, those are going to change because there's people who want to maintain their power, and that's unfortunate. But the big ideas, those are transcendent. Those are built into the cultural mind. They're never – when America dies, people are still going to crave liberty. They're still going to –
that wonderful country that had freedom once. Where what will it be?
We can have a global system. Who says that you need to have
I don't believe in the global system.
Well, whether you believe it or not, you live on the globe. Asa, you don't have to believe it, but you live on the globe.
The global system doesn't have an idea. The global system is a bunch of people that are out trying to grab and live off of each other. They're just trying to grab power from wherever they can get it.
Asa, the planet is immensely wealthy. Immensely. It's just a matter of how the wealth is divided up. Everybody could be a millionaire, Asa. Everybody could have everything they want if we figure out how to do it. There's pure wealth everywhere. There's no need for power. There's no need to accumulate power because wealth is everywhere. You see, power comes from this idea that wealth is limited, that it's a zero sum game, that if I have, you lose.
That's not part of it. That's not what I'm saying. The ideas are past the idea of wealth. There are people that envy us our wealth when it's really ideas that they want.
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure what you're saying about that. But the point that everybody's afraid of this idea of power. Power is simply defined as the ability to do work. And so when people want to accumulate power at the expense of other people's power, they want to accumulate all of the ability to do work and limit other people's ability to do work. In other words, to make things happen. Well, on a planet of abundance, you don't have to accumulate power because there's plenty for everybody. You can accomplish anything you want. There's plenty of energy to do work. There's plenty of money to do work. There's plenty of raw materials to do work.
That's your head.
It's not just in my head.
It is in your head.
Well, it is in my head. That's true. But it's not just in my head. We live on – do you know how much electrical energy is in the air?
Don't laugh at Pharmacist Ben, Asa. That's not respectful.
Asa, there's something called the ionosphere. The ionosphere is like the atmosphere, except it's pure electricity. In other words, the ionosphere, which is in the sky basically, is pure electrical energy. All you got to do is stick a plug in it, and you can have anything you want if you can tap into the ionosphere. Now, am I making that up? It's in my head, but am I making that up? No. Google ionosphere. It's everywhere.
I know, but
it's the ionosphere that our KSCO signal, night signal, bounces off of.
Absolutely.
And at the daytime, the ionosphere moves way above the surface of the Earth, and at night it moves way closer.
And all you have to do is
I'm not as stupid as I look and sound.
So
you don't need to worry. We bought this trance. We've been hypnotized to believe there's scarcity. And so we need to accumulate power because we believe that there's scarcity. And I'm telling you, there's no scarcity. We live in pure, raw abundance.
Asa, you and I can benefit greatly by listening to Pharmacist Ben Fuchs and adopting the positive attitude that he has.
Yes.
Instead of wallowing in the negativity that you and I tend to do.
I don't understand.
Not together, but, you know, independently.
I understand in that sense, but I believe that our ideas are transcendent. That's what I've got to say.
Good.
All the rest of these things, our ideas are transcendent.
All right. Thank you for calling and thank you for laughing.
And Ace is right. Our ideas are transcendent. Those aren't going to go away, but they're not boundary limited. They're not limited by countries.
Steve in Salinas, California. Welcome to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO with pharmacist Ben and MZ.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello there.
Okay, yeah, it cut out when you said Steve. I actually agree with both of the previous caller and
Ben,
pharmacist here. I would have no problem with a world government if it followed the Constitution. But the problem is, it seems like, you know, if you go to the other extreme with, like, Alex Jones, there's, like, 8 people in the world that want to just rule the world.
Right. We have to
kill off a bunch of people.
Hey, you've listened to Alex Jones, right, Ben?
Yes, I have listened to Alex Jones. Uh-huh. I listen to Alex Jones quite a bit. But here's the point. If we have to change – the world government can't continue if we have this mindset of scarcity, if we have this mindset of lack, if we have this mindset that we're not good enough and that we're not powerful enough as individuals. We have to first – have this change our belief system to understand that the individual has immense power, and then we can cooperate. But if we try to move into a one world government with the same mindset, then we're going to have a big problem. Obviously, we'll have an Orwellian state, except it'll be one instead of 4 states or 3 states that George Orwell described. There'll be one. We can't bring our old ways into this new world.
Exactly.
We have to change our belief system. You're absolutely correct. We have to understand how powerful the individual is, and then we can move into the one world government. If we don't appreciate the power of the individual, it won't work. And that's what people are afraid of, and rightly so. We have to bring our own respect our own individual power, and then we can cooperate in a global system.
Okay. Have either of you, either Michael or
Ben.
Ben. Have you ever read the book State of Fear?
No, I have not.
I haven't. I know Michael Crichton, obviously, but no, I haven't.
It is a novel, and it's about environmentalism, but he has footnotes in it, and in the foreword he says all the footnotes are real as far as the research that was done, but I heard this earlier about, you know, everybody works on the idea of fear. You know, I mean, if you look at the last, since January, it's all, we got to do this or we're going to die type thing.
Yes, you're right.
It's a state of fear.
That's absolutely correct. You know, you can't, there's only the two main principles in the world, in life, are love and fear. In the body, they're expressed as survival and thrival. You can't have both. They're at two ends of a continuum. So to the degree that you're in fear is the degree you're not in love. To the degree you're in survival mode is the degree you're not in thrival mode. So you have to – and you can call it expansion and contraction. You can call it good and evil. There's many metaphors for it, but really – it's really what you're saying. It's fear and love. And so we have to move away from fear and towards love. We have to move away from survival mode and into thrival mode. And until we do that, we're going to have what we're experiencing in the world is really the externalization of everybody's fear. And that's what's happening. And so
people just are like, oh no, if we don't do this,
yes.
We're going to die, it's ridiculous.
It's a mindset. It's a mental it's a mindset.
Well,
that's
maybe
what I said
next,
earlier.
Now that we're hip to that old trick, maybe we won't respond as quickly.
Hopefully.
Not as if we have the power to stop anything.
It's important to you as a radio station owner and me as a public speaker and even the caller as a human being that we spread the message of expansion, message of love, the message of thrival, the message of health, the message of wellness, wherever we go. Because that's the only way ideas can flow through the memescape. You know what a meme is, Michael? A belief system.
Yeah, well, it makes me think of the blue meanies in the Yellow Submarine movie. Remember that?
I, know, I, I didn't bloom, see that. It's a little, bloom, little before
bloom,
my time.
Bloom, all the, it's, oh, come on. It's not before your time. You got to see Yellow Submarine or rent it, Ben. It's a okay. It's an animated. It's fantastic.
Yeah, where
the blue
song.
Meanies, the blue meanies were attacked by, who was it? Jeremy, the guy, the real positive guy, reminds me of you. And he went around, you know, just tapping these nasty creatures, you know, who were so negative. And every time he tapped them, flowers bloomed on them, you know. they got upset and died, and all their negativity went away.
Okay, spread the message. And you know what else, Michael?
Yeah.
And for our caller, when we spread the message, when we articulate the message of positivity, our neurochemistry changes. Our biology changes simply by articulating it, simply by hearing it. Our neurochemistry changes. So the memescape will affect the neuroscape, if you will.
Hey,
the whole world will change,
Steve,
just by talking.
Okay, can I interject here?
One quickie, okay? And we have got Brian, and Salinas has been waiting a while,
sure.
And Dave Allen, our own Dave Allen. Okay, go.
Yes.
Okay, you talked about the ionosphere.
Yes.
Are either of you familiar with Nikola Tesla?
Yes,
sure.
Tesla.
Everybody
Tesla.
Is.
Tesla talked about that. He said he wanted to have free energy.
Yeah, before.
But
he
there was also
course.
There was all there's also a magnetic grid.
Absolutely.
And if you can determine where, you can take a cedar post with copper at the end, the upper end of it, stick it in the ground, and the copper will light.
Absolutely.
You,
the planet is a magnet.
Know. Exactly.
Electromagnets.
And electricity does not occur without magnetism.
Yes.
It's free energy.
Yes.
There's free
exactly.
energy.
Yes.
It's
exactly.
all free.
And I mean,
we've been led to believe that there's scarcity. It is not. It is pure
exactly.
abundance.
I
raw
understand
abundance.
That. So if you can plug into the right spot, you can power a house.
anything. You could power anything.
Maybe I should build a house next door to KSCO and plug into its ground.
Well, if you can find the grid, you can, you know, put the post in the right spot.
But the county would stop me from building a house on my own property.
Exactly.
Unless I said, bleep you, I'm going to do it anyhow.
Because
it's an
idea.
Uh-huh.
It's a whole notion of scarcity.
Uh-huh.
You know,
exactly.
We have to change our belief systems.
Uh-huh.
By the way, belief system is abbreviated as BS.
Yeah. Pretty good. Steve and Salinas, we got to go and get to these others, but thanks for calling the Saturday special on your favorite radio station. By the way, how long have we been your favorite radio station?
About 3 years.
Oh, okay, good.
Accident.
Do you use every day to tell at least three other people about who and ask them to tell three other and ask them to tell? And before you know it.
Well, I do tell people about your station. I found you by accident because the FM in my truck went out.
Uh-huh.
So I was forced to listen to AM, and I found you guys.
Well, you know what Dave Allen says. I mean, he's going to be the second caller up next, who's one of the hosts on our station for many years. Dave says that FM stands for morons. and that AM stands for active minds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So anyhow.
Well, then my mind became active about 3 years ago.
All right. Well,
all right.
Keep it there and keep it tuned to 1080. Thanks very much. Brian and Salinas, you're on the Saturday special with Farmers of Spin and MZ.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Ben.
Hi,
you guys both. Been listening since September 17th, 1989. It was the only station running.
Wait a minute. Wait, no, you mean October 17th, which is...
Was that
October? It was October 17th. Yeah, the 20th anniversary is coming up this next October 20th, number 20.
Goody.
We should do something special with KS. We got to do that, right, Dave? We got to do something special. What's it going to be? We got to do... Because it was KSCO that kept everybody glued together. We didn't own the station then, but God, they did a great job. You know, the people.
Why don't you
did.
Throw us a party, Michael?
Let's do it on October. Okay, October 17th, we're going to have a potty. Now, what kind of a potty? We'll have to figure that out. Ben and you and I and Rosemary, the party giver here, we'll get our heads together. Okay.
For all the movers and shakers.
Yeah, and Brian, thank you for giving us the idea. You should be on the potty planning committee too, shouldn't you?
That'd be fun.
Send us an email, okay? And let me get your contact information. But what did you call about?
Well, I wanted to courteously disagree with Ben's thinking because you can think yourself, you know, while you're sitting alone in a little Johnny room, but, you know, when you're actually doing things and things are being done to you, that's a whole different story. What I'm talking about is like Alex Jones. He's really waking up a lot of people. There's a whole lot going on there. We got a UN created by the Rockefellers. We got the pharmaceuticals created by the Rockefellers. We've got...
did you say Barackefellers? Did I hear you?
Yep.
Oh, the Rockefellers.
They can't do anything unless we cooperate. And unless individuals cooperate, they can't do anything.
But we're cooperating going on. I don't think that's true.
We're cooperating. Everybody's cooperating. If you don't go to the doctors, if you refuse to take the pills, if you refuse to take the blue pill, so to speak, if you wake up, if people wake up, they can't do anything. They have to have.
Wait a minute. Aren't they talking about arresting people who don't take the H1N1 virus vaccine? Aren't they talking about that?
There are 300 million Americans, right? How many Rockefellers are there? There's 300 million of us against 8 or 10 or 12 or 50.
But take a look at what NAFTA and GATT have done. That was a Rockefeller deal. And look what we have no jobs.
People are cooperating. The individual is asleep at the wheel. The individual is watching soap operas. The individuals are not listening to Alex Jones. They're not reading David.
So how are we going to think positive if all these people are asleep?
If everybody has to wake up, if people wake up, there's no more Rockefellers. The Rockefellers require our implicit participation.
They have a plan to wipe out our homes. They have a plan to wipe us out. This is a eugenics.
If every single individual wakes up, they can't do anything. We have to wake people up.
It won't be thinking about it.
It starts by thinking. No, it's not only thinking. Definitely not only thinking. Remember the order. Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, always. So first you have to correct yourself with spiritually, whatever that is for you. Then you have to be thinking. Then you have to be feeling. And then you have to be acting. But the actions will automatically follow.
We have a God-breathed constitution, which was given to us by our maker, and his enemy, the enemy of our soul, was right there with him. So right now, Rockefeller is the enemy of our soul because he actually wants to have us put out. And they have the sound cannons in Philadelphia blasting 9-year-old boys while they're at home on their porch.
What did Jesus do in the desert? We have a military conquest going on in America right now.
So what did Jesus do when Satan tempted him?
He said, get thee, Satan, behind me. Get the heck out of here. That's what we say. If every human being says, get thee, Satan, behind me, we're done. But we don't.
We have a better place. But we don't because we're watching our soap operas and
yes. That's the problem. That's the problem. Don't blame the Rockefellers. Don't blame the doctors. Don't blame Barack Obama. Blame us for sitting there watching our soap operas.
It's the Rockefellers who are actually doing something, and they are doing something with a lot of momentum. It is a big wheel spinning against us, and it intends to grind us up and throw us into their little
Don't go into the machine, and you won't get chopped up. But everybody has to wake up.
Yes,
everybody has to wake up. That's the message.
On the wall.
We all have to wake up.
On the wall because this is 1984, and as Alex Jones says, we got to turn back to 1776. 1984 has arrived.
Only if people continue watching their soap operas.
25 years late, it's arrived, huh?
If every human being wakes up, we don't have to worry about the Rockefellers. Do you know the story about the is our caller still on there?
Yeah. So Brian and Salinas, so he's still there.
Let me tell you I hear about the doctors, and it's very easy to beat up on the doctors, and it's very easy to beat up on the Rockefellers, and it's very easy to beat up on the government. But let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you the story of the frog and the scorpion. Did I ever tell you the story of the frog and the scorpion, Michael?
No.
All right, let me tell you about this frog.
He says the one that ends.
Don't tell the way it ends.
Okay.
Tell a story.
Well, you asked me if I heard it, so I want to tell you whether I heard it or not.
This is the story of the frog and the scorpion. A frog and a scorpion are walking along, and they come to a river. And the frog can swim, the scorpion can't. So the scorpion says to the frog, will you let me on your back, and we'll go across the river? And the frog says, no, I'm not going to let you on my back. You're a scorpion. You're going to bite me. And the scorpion says, don't be silly. If I bite you and we're in the river, you're going to drown, and then I'm going to drown. Both of us will be dead. Why would I do something stupid like bite you? So the frog thinks about it a second, says, okay. And so the scorpion gets on the frog's back. They go out into the river. They get in the middle of the river, and boom, the scorpion bites the frog. And the frog is drowning, and he looks up at the scorpion and says, you stupid scorpion. What did you do? Why did you bite me? You know, now I'm going to drown, and you're going to drown. What are you thinking? Why did you bite me? And the scorpion looks at the frog and goes, I'm a scorpion. That's what I do. Okay?
The point is,
I'm a Rockefeller. That's what I do. Okay. I'm a policeman. That's what I do. I'm a Satan. That's what I do. What they do. They're Rockefellers. But it doesn't mean we have to participate with them.
Right.
That we don't have to let them on our back.
They are positively thinking, and they are positively doing what they positively are told to do, and it is positively against the common good. It is positively against the rights and the freedoms of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. We don't have a First Amendment.
A caller called to say, yes. Ben is pharmacist Ben, though he's a wonderful man, is living in La La Land.
Well, you could say I'm living in La La Land, but you know what? It's a lot of fun in La La Land, and if you go out there and try to maybe move to La La Land for a little bit, and everybody moves to La La Land, we will have a happy, healthy, whole culture.
But that's the problem. No one. Everybody won't live in La La Land.
Well, listen, it's belief system. The
BS. Change, even you said it was BS.
Change starts because it's not real. Change starts in belief first. Uh-huh. So you have to believe, and it doesn't matter whether it's real. Real is, there's no such thing as real. You make up real. Your world is not my world. We all live in our own individual worlds. The point is that first you change in your belief. You change in your mind. You change in consciousness first. And then you change feeling-wise, and then the physical shows up. The physical is a reflection of your thoughts, always. The physical world that shows up is a reflection of your thoughts. Now, am I right or am I wrong? Don't worry whether I'm right or wrong. Try it. See it.
What's that marching down the street? Better start the revolution. Start the revolution. That's what the song was. That was back when I was
evolution.
In La La Land.
It's about evolution, not revolution. Revolution's a circle. The problem with revolution is you end up where you started. It's a circle. It revolves. I'm talking about evolution, changing.
Well, fortunately, evolution never did happen, but things do change.
Oh, no. Are we going to get into that?
You can believe anything.
Now, listen, Brian and Salinas.
I'll let you guys go, but I have to finish changing my oil. My initials are BS, but that's not what I was talking about. You guys love you dearly.
Brian. You need to send me an email, mz@ksco.com, with your contact information so you can be on the 20th anniversary of the 1989 Loma Prieta earthquake potty planning committee for KSCO.
I'll get back to you, Mike.
Okay, very good. Okay. Thank you for
Take
calling.
Dave.
You know, it's interesting how that somebody would say that I'm in La La Land as if that was some sort of insult. What's wrong with La La Land?
Yeah.
Well, you know? Dave Allen, what is wrong with La La Land, if anything?
Am I on the air?
Yeah.
Hey, what happened to that?
I don't know.
What's that?
It's gone.
Very
I don't know
sneaky.
What to say.
You never know when you're on.
Right, you're on.
For all callers, beware. Don't be cussing when you think you're on hold.
Okay, good.
Hey, I didn't know Benjamin Fuchs was that esoteric.
He is very
wow,
esoteric.
Wow, me and him are going to hook up.
Yeah, he would be a great guest on your program. He would be a great fill-in host for your show, Dave.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is Dave esoteric, too? I like esotericism.
And
is
eclectic.
Real interesting.
Dave is very eclectic.
I like
eclectic.
That word, too. Yes, yeah. I like that word,
you know
too.
What?
Esoteric.
Ben, this
yes.
planet is stuck on stupid. How the hell is this planet, or human race, going to have a chance in hell to evolve? That's right, evolve, which means adapt, which means come up from the bootstraps up, higher,
yes.
higher, up, up,
yes.
with your mentality.
Yes.
If people are so damn dumb.
A complexity, systems always evolve. They're always becoming more complex. So there's this thing called complexity theory in physics, and it says, one of the tenets of complexity theory says when energy is put into a system, that system over time will restructure itself.
That's right.
You know who Arnold Toynbee was? Do you ever hear Arnold Toynbee? He's a famous historian from the 19th century, a British historian.
Right.
He came up with something called the challenge and stress theory of civilizations. And he said that when civilizations are challenged and stressed, they evolve.
That's
and
right.
this is they become higher, more complex. And that's what we're experiencing now. We have to put energy into the system, Dave. And by putting energy into the system, I mean new ideas.
It's people called like the law of attraction. It's called manifestation.
All of that.
I mean,
all
look,
of that is.
If people want to think about according to the scriptures, well, did Jesus and all these people say, "Ask and ye shall receive"?
Absolutely.
"Ye shall find"? All this shall be given unto you. What's the problem?
There is no problem. I don't know. People are missing it.
I know.
The law of attraction is physics. It's resonance.
Ben,
like tuning forks.
Hey, Ben, write this down. When you're done with the show, or Michael could pull it up right now on the computer, manifesthappy.com.
Is that a website? That's somebody's website.
That's a wonderful website.
All you have to do is be happy.
I'm writing it down.
Totally
ManifestHappy.com.
Yeah.
I like that.
ManifestHappy.
All you have to do is be happy. And think about things. We have the power to create.
Absolutely. We are creator beings.
We co-create with spirit.
Absolutely. 100%. We are spirit, Dave. We are spirit. We are spirit.
Right.
There's no division.
That's why I told Michael before, that's my problem with Alex Jones is, he's out there spitting all the doom and gloom. I got to wonder if this guy's an agent provocateur.
I think he is.
No. Come on, you guys. Really?
Michael, how can this guy get up there and expose all the demonic people that run the world that think they own it without being killed by now?
I'm going to call Alex and ask him that. I have his home phone number. I'm going to call him and I'm going to ask him to be part of our earthquake, October 17th earthquake.
Look, the guy's going to tell you, very rehearsed.
Okay. I don't know him personally, so I can't speak to him. But I know I don't like all that fear either. And I, like you say, Dave, why is he? You know, I'm a little suspicious. So I'll just leave it at that.
The so-called quote-unquote controllers know the power of the mind. That's why we're all being idiots. All the news is crap. It's all negative, negative, negative. Why? People are very suggestive. You can control the masses by controlling their thoughts.
That's right. And that's what all that fear is about. It's about controlling thoughts.
Amen, my brother.
You know what fear stands for, right?
What?
Well, you know, false evidence appearing real.
That's right.
That's what fear is.
How come somebody's talking about how we're all going to die? They're going to house styles. They're going to collect your guns. But they're going to let you keep your food. They're going to let you keep your silver. Come on, what's wrong with that thought? We're all going to be dead. We're all going to hell in a handbasket. We're all, by the way, want to buy some silver? Want to buy some food?
Right.
It's like, what? Okay. If our own government is going to go house to house for rounding up our weapons, aren't they going to take our MRIs and all our silver we can stockpile anyway? I mean, what's something I could do? Wait a minute. I used to think like
that. What are you going to do with all the silver?
I used to think like that, but you know what? We, as a whole mass, have the power. I don't care if you're a Christian, if you're Islamic, if you're Buddhist, you know that we have the power, which is what some people call praying, other people call meditating or positive effect. Whatever way you want to look at it, we, the people, have the power. Not these Rockefellers, all the rest of these yo-yos.
Absolutely. They can't do anything without our participation.
That's right.
Watch
American Idol, American Gladiator.
Right.
All this toxic food and crap we call food.
There was a brilliant Japanese landscape designer named John Takamoto. And when I was a kid, my parents went away on a trip, and they said, here's some money. Have John Takamoto install his design, you know, in our backyard that had a creek running through it. You know,
it still does.
Yes, exactly. And so I said something to John Takamoto once. And I can't even remember what it was, but here was his response. He started shaking his head violently in reaction to something that I had said. And he said, God damn it! How can anybody be so stupid?
We're an idiot!
It's not so much that we're stupid.
That's what's wrong with the people.
Yeah.
Roy Masters time. Everybody's hypnotized. Where's
we're
Roy when you need him? I have to call Roy now, too.
Yes. Uh-oh. We are entranced. We're in a trance. Yeah. A trance of scarcity, a trance of lack, a trance of fear, a trance being a trance with who we identify with. A trance is who you identify yourself as.
And what kills me, I hear our nice listeners calling up and – yeah, but you're living in the bubble. Ever that crap. You're living in the bubble. When you get back down to reality, who's reality?
Okay.
You know?
Dave, what's a great call. I want to keep you on forever. You and Ben are a wonderful team, but we got to move on. Gene and Salinas is going to be our last call. And we got to do the commercials, right, Dave? We got to do the commercials.
Bye-bye.
I'm not going to tell you. Bye, Dave. Thanks for calling. Not going to tell you how long the commercials are because we don't want you to go to relieve nature's internal pressure. We want you to hear the commercials, because it's without these people, these few people who buy advertising on the radio, we wouldn't even be here. So go ahead and take it away, Dave.
If you know someone needing expensive medical or dental care, please tell them to consider a quick trip to Costa Rica as a medical tourist. The savings can be huge, even after travel expenses, and it's a great place to enjoy a vacation. Costa Rica is a world-renowned medical destination because it's close, quick, safe, and provides high-quality health care at an affordable price. We operate a B&B that specializes in helping medical and dental tourists. We can answer your questions and manage all the logistics of your trip. To learn more about medical tourism in Costa Rica, call 877-410-1944 or visit meridine.com on the web. That's 877-410-1944 or meridine.com. MARIDEAN.com.
Hey, sports fans, this Saturday night, Cabrillo Seahawk football coming at you live from Carl Connolly Stadium versus longtime rival Hartnell College. Tune in 7 p.m. on AM 1340 KOMY.
At Perigo's Auto Body, we offer quality repairs at a fair price. But that's just the beginning. Our goal is for our customers to feel their repaired vehicle is now in better condition than before their collision. From our certified estimators to our highly trained collision repair specialists, we take great pride in our professionalism and craftsmanship. We're highly trained in the art of customer service, too. The next time you need collision repairs, call Perigo's Auto Body at 423-3251. Perigo's Auto Body at 251 Washington Street in Santa Cruz. Or perigosautobody.com. You know how important it is for your business printing to make a good first impression. Here's how to guarantee your advertisements, publications, signs, and websites get that job done right. Go to Print Shop Santa Cruz, the print shop with the graphic difference for business printing and copies. The Print Shop Santa Cruz graphic difference is the design experience they bring to advertisements, publications, signs, and websites. And Print Shop Santa Cruz can write the copy to go with your advertisements and publications. With this kind of experience, Print Shop Santa Cruz makes certain your job comes out just as you expect. And you won't have to chase across town for approvals because Print Shop Santa Cruz will email proofs to your computer. Put the Print Shop Santa Cruz graphic difference to work for your digital color copies, printing, signs, and websites. Print Shop Santa Cruz will make certain your business makes that good first impression. Print Shop Santa Cruz, 511 River Street, Santa Cruz. Phone 831-429-5340 or printshopsantacruz.com.
Hi, it's your old friend MZ with a great innovative gift idea for you. You can get this for someone you care about or get it for yourself. It's an hour of time on your favorite radio station to be used as desired so long as you don't get us sued or fined. Got a challenge? Have a business or profession to grow? An idea or philosophy to advance? A candidate to get elected or an initiative to get passed? An organization, congregation, or ministry to develop? A great way to accomplish any of that is to become a host on your favorite radio station and to do your own hour show one time, once a week, once a month, or whatever. The cost is surprisingly cheap. It's a lot of fun. We'll include a bunch of free commercials to promote it. And at worst, you'll have a blast. And at best, you'll achieve what you want and become a KSCO celebrity who many respect and admire. To find out more or to make it happen, send me an email with some info about the program you have in mind and your phone number. MZ@KSCO.com. That's MZ@KSCO.com. Let's have some fun, make your favorite radio station even better, and help you or someone important to you have a more exciting life.
Okay, we're back. We're in the home stretch of the program, actually fewer than 3 minutes left, so let's go right to the phone. Gene in Salinas, you're on the Saturday special with Ben Fuchs and MZ.
Hello, MZ.
Hey.
Hello, Ben. How are you?
Yeah. Hello.
You got greetings. You got your container traveler with you? You have a container with you?
My container trowel? What did he say?
Yeah, your container. Remember you used to have a container every time I saw you? When you came to Salinas and made talks?
A water container?
There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do. I'm holding it in my hand right now. Actually.
Well, you see, I never forget.
Gene, we have about a minute left, so you got to get to it here.
I was in my den, and I said, I'm going to turn on the radio and relax, and I had to call in and say hello to Mr. Ben, okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Ben. Keep up the good work.
Okay. Thank you, buddy. That was nice.
Bye-bye.
Very nice.
So we're winding down. Before we wind down, I want to just say this last thing, okay, Michael?
Sure. We got about a minute and a half or so.
Okay. How to have a great life. You ready? Three rules for a great life. Three things you got to do. A three-step process. Number one, accept that you create what you see. You create your reality. Accept that. Don't argue with it. Just accept it. If you want to have a great life, if a meteor comes out of the sky and hits you on the head, you created it. You say, oh, I got cancer. I had nothing to do with it. You create it. Just accept that you created it. Number two, don't judge. Judgment is not helpful. It happened. Whatever happens, happened. Don't judge it, even whether it's good or bad. Just be neutral about what shows up. And number three, practice feeling happy. Practice it. Practice feeling good. Make it an exercise. Every morning for 5 minutes, daydream about the greatest thing that could ever happen to you, whatever that is. As you think good thoughts, your neurochemistry will change. Your brain, brain will mold. It's a neuroplasticity. There's a shape to your neurology. As you think thoughts, your neurons will change shape. You will become habituated to feeling good. So accept that you created your reality. Don't judge anything that shows up, and practice feeling good. Three-step process to
having
a great life.
Ben, you the best. Can't wait to have you on again. Have a great day.
Right.
This program will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or on demand at SaturdaySpecial.com or KSCO.com. Thanks, Ben.
MZ, thank you. It's a pleasure.
That's all, folks. KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It is 12 noon. Here's Fox News.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. Iran's newly disclosed nuclear fuel processing facility is now the elephant in the diplomatic living room. The United Nations Secretary General voicing grave concern. The Western powers saying this is an untenable situation.
The newly disclosed uranium enrichment plant is located underground about 100 miles from Tehran under the mountains near the city of Qom. Iran fessed up to the UN inspectors about the site on Monday, only after it learned Western intelligence was about to release the news.
Fox's Julie Kurtz. Iran saying today it'll let workers from the UN's nuclear watchdog, the International Atomic Energy Agency, into the country to inspect the new plant, which its president says won't be operational for another 18 months. In the meantime, Iran plans missile defense military exercises tomorrow. President Obama reaching out diplomatically to Iran in his regular radio speech. The Republicans countering with another thumbs down on congressional health care reform proposals.
If you have insurance, you get taxed. If you don't have insurance, you get taxed. If you're an employer who cannot afford to provide health insurance to your employees, you get taxed. Manufacturers of medical devices such as hearing aids will get taxed. That means anyone who needs these devices will pay higher prices.
Georgia GOP Senator Joni Isaacson. Well, it's not really a surprise, but it is a disappointment for those who champion the president's pledge to permanently close the gate on the Guantanamo detention facility.
White House officials now acknowledge it is inevitable that Guantanamo Bay will stay open after President Obama's self-imposed deadline of a January shutdown. It's something that has looked probable for months, but this is the first time the White House has admitted that legal problems and legislative hurdles are causing their timetable to slide. The pledge to shut down Guantanamo in 1 year was one of the president's first acts in office, noting it had become a lightning rod for criticism around the world.
Fox's Carolyn Shively. And you're listening to Fox News Radio. Fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Fox and Friends Encore. Encore.
John Lithgow.
You have trouble getting out of your character.
Oh, none whatsoever.
Really?
No, I completely leave it at the office. As a matter of fact, this show that I'm doing right now, this one-man show.
Which is you're the man.
It's simply me conversing with the audience, and you barely notice when it turns into a performance, which is kind of the idea.
Seamless.
Wow.
To sort of throw out the whole idea of performing and just sort of interact with an audience.
But see, you're not just a one idea guy, because you also write books. What number is this? The children's book. Is it number eight
this
already?
This is number eight.
My goodness.
I got two dogs. The text of this book are the lyrics of, I do concerts for kids, and
right.
This is their favorite song all the time. I got two dogs. So, you know, my editor had the bright idea of turning it into my eighth book.
Oh, great.
Don't miss Fox and Friends weekday mornings on the Fox News Channel.
Pittsburgh getting back to normal today after the G20 summit mania. Some downtown merchants saying they actually lost money during the international gathering. Pope Benedict XVI in Prague, the first papal visit to the Czech Republic in a dozen years. The Pope hailing the collapse of the Berlin Wall 2 decades ago this autumn as a, quote, watershed in world history, bemoaning the persecution before that of the Roman Catholic Church under the communist regime, urging the heavily secularized nation to rediscover its Christian roots. While he was speaking at the Prague airport, reporters suddenly noted a large spider that was on the papal robes. It proceeded to crawl right up the side of the 82-year-old pontiff's face, resulting in a swat from Pope Benedict. It then reappeared on his shoulder and ultimately skittered away down his robe and gone. NBC's new Tonight Show host has had an onstage accident that leaves the status of his appearances in question.
The host of NBC's Tonight Show having a mishap on stage.
I think the president forgot my name there for a second. Let's check that out again.
To manage this transition between Leno and Conan.
He was thinking of Tilda Swinton.
A comedy bit that Conan O'Brien did back in June on the program. On Friday, O'Brien hit his head somehow during a stunt on the show. He was taken to a hospital. O'Brien sending out a humorous statement that might indicate he's okay. He says he remembers watching the play with Mrs. Lincoln. Next thing he knew, he was being served cookies and juice. NBC will not say if next week's shows will be impacted. Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Would you believe an international academic symposium on Bruce Springsteen? No fooling. Some 300 professors, some as far away from Australia, descending on West Long Branch, New Jersey, to mulch over Springsteen's life and music. They'll get a walking tour of his old stomping grounds, including the Stone Pony Bar in Asbury Park, where he launched his career. This all sparked by the fact that the boss turned 60 last Wednesday. Chris Stanley, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. You've got it tuned in to AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. It's Saturday, September 26, 2009. Your forecast for today calls for sunny conditions with highs in the 70s along the coast, the lower 90s further inland. Tonight's forecast calls for clear conditions with lows in the mid-50s. And your boater's forecast for today, east winds 5 to 10 knots, becoming west 5 to 15 knots in the afternoon. Wind waves 1 to 3 feet. And a northwest swell 1 to 3 feet every 9 seconds, along with areas of dense fog. Outside KSCO studios, it's 71 degrees. The time is 12:06. Coming up next,